Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Breaking the Silence. This is Greg Williams right here in my home in the most awesome city in the absolute world, Houston, Texas. And don't you forget it. You can look right out the window here. It looks like it's a beautiful fall day. The sun has already gone down and it's been a little windy today, but the weather was just absolutely perfect here in Houston. And I was just looking over at the stadium. I don't know if the Texans play because they play right there. And I'm not for sure they played today or not. It seems like a lot of teams were having the week as a bye, but I'll find out a little later on this evening. We have a great show for you tonight, and you can get involved several different ways. One of the easiest ways is to get right on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. You can comment there, or you can call the wonderful people at BBS Radio, and that number is 888-627-6008. Doesn't cost you a penny. You know, I don't think they even charge for phone calls anymore, whether it's toll-free or not, so I'm not for sure. But I remember, you remember those days when you used to pick up the phone, it was a party line, and you have somebody on the other end, and you'd listen in, and they'd start yelling at you? Anyway, that I saw a squirrel go by. Sorry about that. But 888-627-6008 will get you right into the BBS radio station, and TJ, our awesome friend there, is running the board tonight, and he will transfer you right into the guest. And I got a feeling that you may want to talk to this guy tonight. We've got somebody that has been in the television world for years, and now he's writing books, and we're going to bring him in here just shortly. So make sure you have that number written down, 888-627-6008, or you can text me right here on my phone. 832-396-6525. And my text start going off in the middle of the program. Matter of fact, looks like I have two right now saying, why were we late getting on the air? But anyway, not going to answer those. But we got here and we still got a full hour. So you're going to be tired of us before the night's out. But we always said that, hey, if you want to get involved in and participate, we'd love to have you, although a lot of times we don't. I started something last week that I just want to finish up this week, talking about mindfulness, how to pay attention to things that's going on around us and how to make sure what we're tapping into in life is really significant to us. I waste so much time on doing things that really won't matter 3 years from now. I spend so much time, waste so much time on things that won't matter a month from now. Why is it that we push those things that's most important to the side? That's what I'm going to just talk about real briefly, then we're going to bring our guest in. But we talked last week about how to decide what is important to you. First of all, you have to have a set of priorities, because if you don't have your own priorities and in a position of where they are and you just don't have a guide, congratulations, your friend or your boss is going to set your priorities for you. And I guarantee you, when they do that, you won't be the first concern. It'll be what's about them. And I'm not for sure you want it that way. So you have to set your own priorities. And then we need to take a little more risk in what we do. I love the book of the 5-second rule, to where if you see somebody across the room that you want to meet, you do it within 5 seconds. You go 5, 4, 3, 2, and you start making your way there. It works when you're getting out of bed or when you're getting out of my chair over here in the morning. Hey, it's time to get up. 5, 4, 3. And before I get to 1, I want to get up, because if not, you're going to keep hitting that snooze button and you never will. But every now and then we just need to take a few more risks. We also talked last week on show your love to the people that you care about. I got to go to the office tomorrow. And, you know, sometimes going to the office just don't bring those butterflies and gushy, lovey feelings anymore. I like working for Baylor, and it's right there. I like working there. I love the people there. I love the department, the OB-GYN department. But I think sometimes, and maybe we're going to find this out a little bit with our guest tonight, sometimes when you find out that, wait, that may not be the purpose of why I was put on the earth, was to push papers at a desk, I'm not that good at it. Maybe there's something else I need to be involved with. Another thing that we talked about last week, and then we'll get a few new ones here, is I need to ignore the haters, the people that don't like me, the people that are the naysayers. You can't amount to that. You're never going to get through that. What are you doing that for? And sometimes I just need to mute them out. You know, we have this thing that men live by and we live and die by. I look for this every time I walk into a hotel across the country. Where's the remote? Where's the remote? Because I want to get that remote. And there's a little mute button there. We need to use that on our naysayers. Now, do not try using it on your wife. It will not work. And if she watches you and sees you, you're going to get this across the head. So you don't know what to do for that. For the naysayers, just hit that mute button and try to get them out of your life so you don't listen to them. And then never compare or compromise your values. Your values are so important, and they're who you are. And in this crazy world of politics, in this crazy world of Hollywood entertainers thinking that we need to follow their beliefs and their values in regards to policy and procedure in our country, it's just like, thanks for playing, but I really don't care what Robert De Niro thinks about and how I should act or vote at an election. Why, you know, are you kidding me? Or Tom Cruise or Taylor Swift. I really don't care what they think. I want to know and grade and relate my values into my world. And I never want to compromise them for anybody. If anybody's in my inner circle and they're asking me to break down that wall, that standard of my value and integrity, then I think I may have the wrong people in my inner circle. I need to say, hey, wait, I'm not violating that. I'm not chancing that. That is something that I'm sticking by, and I don't bend that easy or bow down to anything that I don't want to bow down to. Then I need to also always be kind to other people, whether they are the CEO of the hospital that I work at, my direct supervisor, the chair of our department, Dr. Belfort. I need to be kind to them, but I also need to be kind to the people that bring the mail in every day, the people that are doing housekeeping, the people that I go down and get a soda from every morning at the cafeteria when they open up at 6:30. I'm one of the first people in line, and I have a relationship with those folks. Sometimes we overlook people and we don't express our kindness to people that need kindness too and are deserving of it and have value and have a purpose in their life also. And then I need to keep my mind open. I need to listen to sometimes to people that don't agree with me because I don't have it all together yet. I need to understand that I don't know everything. And sometimes just keeping my mouth shut and listening will help me understand where people are coming from, whether I'm going to agree with them or not. I still want to hear their position because they may have right thoughts. And then I need to take action for what matters to me. If it matters to me, then what am I going to do? So when I wake up in the morning, how am I going to make that day? And tomorrow's Monday. You know, how am I going to make that day start off my week in a positive mode? And the purpose in life is to live a life of purpose. Abraham Lincoln said, and in the end, it's not the years in your life that counts. It's the life that's in your years. And some author that you may know wrote this at the beginning of his very first book that I wrote years ago before I wrote Shattered by the Darkness. One of the greatest tragedies in life is to wake up dead, realizing that you never, ever lived. What's it take to get us to find that passion again of what we are, who we are, and why we're here on earth? So anyway, I wanted to finish those up. Thank you for enduring the pain of that. And I'll just throw that over there, file it with all the other stacks of paper on my little desk here on the radio program. But tonight I want to tell you what. You want to get involved tonight, 888-627-6008. But what I saw from the little press release of this individual, and I saw what he was involved in. He worked in the television producer world over 16 years with Hell's Kitchen. Gordon Ramsay. Every time I go to Vegas, we have to go to the Gordon Ramsay Bowl. We went to the Hell's Kitchen restaurant. Go ahead, TJ, bring our guest side by side so everybody can see his beautiful face. But then also, I love going to the Gordon Ramsay burger place. All my lands, you've never had a better hamburger until you went to Gordon Ramsay. So when I saw he was a producer for Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen, Real Stories of the Highway Patrol, Survivor, Nanny 911, Cops, Big Brother, unbelievable. And then we're going to find out here just in a minute that he was also, I believe, an electrician on the movie of Terminator 2. Yes. And we'll probably find out all of those. So that was exciting. But then when I found out that this man that has that manly name of Rusty Austin writes, he retired now from the television reality producer world, writes children's books, I had to have him on. So welcome to the program tonight, Rusty Allen. Rusty, welcome to the program. Can you hear us all right?
Yes, thanks for having me on. It's a great pleasure.
No, it's our pleasure. Where are you located at? What state are you in right now?
I'm in California in Palm Springs.
Okay.
And I lived in Los Angeles for the 35 years that I worked in TV. And then I retired in 2018 and moved out here. So I've been out here since about 2020.
Love it out here.
Yeah.
So tell me, you know, I don't want to bore people or ask the same questions that I'm sure you're asked all the time. Hey, did you get to meet Gordon and all those things? But why, in your retirement, children's books? What caused that to be?
That's a good question.
I think I'll do that.
What happened was I graduated from film school way back in 1988. And I worked on movies for a while as an electrician, like you said, and I realized that everything on a movie set for the electrician weighs about 50 or 100 pounds. So that was just like hard labor, really. It's not as glamorous as it sounds. So I happened to get into the reality TV business right when reality was taken off. And I did that for many years. And then in about 2014, there was a book on a guy on Facebook that wrote a book called Go the F to Sleep that went totally viral and sold 1 million copies. And so I was, at the time, I was posting my little poems on Facebook that I like to write about animals. And I did that for about a year. And my friend said, well, you should write a book. And so in 2016, before I was retired, I wrote my first book, Beware the Grizzly Bear. And it all just kind of snowballed from there.
Who wrote the book that inspired you? Was that Mark Mason or was it somebody else?
I don't remember his name, but I remember the book was called Go the F to Sleep.
Yeah, there's a lot of those F books out there
Yeah.
right now. They found out
But it was,
that was a way to market their books.
yeah, I think he got Morgan Freeman to actually read it for him as an audiobook, and so he sold a
Oh,
million of
wow.
them. And so
Yeah.
that's kind of how I got started. But just to digress for a moment about what you were talking about when we first came on the air,
Yeah.
I wrote an essay about eating a bowl of Cheerios, and I realized that eating a bowl of Cheerios, you had 10,000 people that help you get those Cheerios. To start with the farmers that grew it and harvested it, and the bankers and the mill and the people in the factory and the guys that built the electrical plant that runs the factory and the guys that built the store where you go and buy this buy the Cheerios and the cashier that checks you out. So everything's interconnected that way, and you want to be aware of that, I think.
Well, I think that's great. I love the way your mind works to be able to pull that out because I will not, because I usually eat a few Honey Nut Cheerios every morning when I get to the office dry, because of my illness. I can't eat hard
Right.
food, but I'll remember those 10,000 people in the morning and thank them and say, hey, God, thank you for
Yes.
those people that brought this to
There are
my
so
table.
many, the traffic cops that enable you to drive to the store and get through a traffic light. All of them, all those people are helping you every day, every minute of every day of your life. So I really
And you know, if
appreciate
you
it.
can have that kind of mindset, Rusty, to be able to pull those type of interesting tidbits out of
Yes.
something that's what people go, wow, I
Yeah.
never thought of that before.
Well, my sister said, I'm going to stop eating Cheerios. And I'm like, you missed the whole point of my story. It has nothing to do with Cheerios.
10,000 people lose their job because your sister's not going to eat Cheerios
Going to stop
anymore.
eating Cheerios. So that was kind of funny. But yeah,
I
I
was
really appreciate you bringing that up.
that's funny. I was at a grocery store this morning at straight up when they opened up at 6 o'clock, and I got out of the grocery store and at 6:05, and I was watching a person take their shopping cart when they were finished with the shopping cart, and I came to the realization again, and I've talked about this years ago, that people, you can correlate what they put value in other people and things
Yes,
with the
I've noticed
way
that.
they treat their shopping cart.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they just push it across or leave it by a car and let it ding or whatever. Now, when you started writing these books, because you've written how many now?
I'm up to four, and I have a memoir that I wrote that isn't a children's book, and I also have a book about baseball that I co-wrote that isn't a children's book. So I have actually six books in the bank, and
Wow.
I'm working on one right now called The Two-Headed Snake.
The two-headed snake.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a memoir about your life?
Well, what happened was my good friend Dave passed away when he was about probably
Yeah.
60 or 61. And so, while I could still remember what was going on, I kind of wanted to refresh all the adventures that we had in the 70s and 80s growing up. And so I kind of put that all to paper and got it out, mostly just for the family and myself. But it sold a few copies to other people too, and they seemed to like it.
Yeah. Okay, Rusty, be honest with me. And this is only going around the world tonight. Did you put all of your adventures?
No.
No. That
No,
you did in the 70s and 80s? No, I doubt
it's only 160 pages long, and it has a lot of pictures in it too, so
that. That's great. Well, was there something that attracted you or inspired you to dive in to a children's book? Was it what caused you to do that?
I think my background is I grew up in Colorado, and so we did a lot of the outdoor lifestyle. So there's a lot of backpacking and hiking and fishing and like that. And so I got interested in animals and nature that way. And I kind of got away from all that in Hollywood for so many years. And then I just started writing these short little poems. I try to make them all, three, four lines, 5 lines, 12 to 15 words. And I try to say something about the animal, how it looks or what it eats or how it lives. And get something interesting in there. And like I said, I was putting those on Facebook, and lo and behold, all my friends called me and said, "You need to put those in a book." Well, that's kind of how it happened.
That's great. You grew up in, was it Littleton, Colorado?
Yes, it's a suburb of Denver.
So yeah,
we had the big city. Yeah, we had the big city right next to us, but we also had, back in those days, it was way out in the sticks, actually. So
yeah,
you were out there.
The one thing I remember about Littleton, Colorado, more than anything, was the groundhogs. You look out over a field,
yeah, and the prairie dogs,
heads popping up.
They're popping up all over the place.
And you don't see that in Illinois or Missouri.
No, and it's a sad thing too, because when Denver started growing so much bigger, I think it's at least twice as big now as when I lived there. But they would just come in and plow up the prairie dog colonies.
Prairie dogs.
Yeah, prairie dog colonies, and then they had a. I don't know what the name of the organization was, but they would come in and relocate them. So that was good. But yeah, they're cute little guys. I think I have a poem about one.
You wrote about a prairie dog?
I think so, but I don't have a poster on it. So
you had to do a book on prairie dogs.
I should do it. Well, usually when I do my books, it's the title of the book is the title of the first poem in the book. So this one's called "The Unicorn Has One Horn." And then I have an awesome bird, the pelican.
That's the new one, right?
Yeah, that's the new one that I got done. I'll have to talk about that a little bit. And then I also have one called "The Carrot is Orange," which is actually about food and not about animals. So I tried to pick out foods that kids would like and make short little poems about them.
What inspired you? Was there any books like Dr. Seuss or anything that said, "Oh man, if
yes.
I could be in that category"?
Well, Dr. Seuss is the king, of course. And yeah. I've enjoyed those all my life. And for a while, I had a business where I would get Dr. Seuss books, the originals, and cut them up and put them in frames to put on the wall.
Oh, wow.
So that was very inspiring to be able to go through all those books again as an adult and see what they got. You know, the Sleep Book, If I Own the Circus, all those kind of books were great.
Yeah. And you did this prior to becoming an author?
Yes, I did that.
You had a love for that to begin
yes.
with.
And it's been 20 years since I did it, so I don't have any left around. But if I did, I would show you one.
That's wild. That's great. That's great. And how long has it been since the first book came out, Rusty?
The first book came out in 2016, so it's now been 10 years.
Okay.
Don't sell a lot, but, you know, it's a steady seller. And I had my nephew did the illustrations for the first two books, The Grizzly Bear and The Carrot is Orange. And he did them on an old Commodore 64 that he had left over from 1985 or something. I don't know. So they're very, very, they're colorful, but simplistic at the same time, I would say.
Yeah. The Commodore, that was like a dot matrix, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had it printed, but he actually was able to send me JPEGs that were not very pixelated, so that was great.
Right. So with the new one, the Pelican book, do you use the same author the last two or three books, or are you trying different
No.
kind of authors, but illustrators?
This Pelican book is right up the alley of what you were talking about. What happened was I made a donation to a website called Donors Choose, which is like a GoFundMe for teachers. And one of the teachers I had given money to was buying poetry books for her eighth graders. And so I sent him some money, and I sent her a message through the website, and she asked me to come in and read my latest book. At the time was The Unicorn Has One Horn, to her class. And so I came in and read it to her class, and while I was there, the kids, they were so intense and so rapt. I pitched the idea to her, let's have the kids do the illustrations for my next book, and she was all over it. So what happened was, I can show you this. We had the kids at Nellie Kaufman did all the illustrations, and there's 44 poems in the book, and there was probably 100 kids. And so what I did was, if the kids didn't get their picture with a poem, I at least put it in the book for them. So they all got a picture of the book. And then I had to make a deal with the Palm Springs School District lawyers, because they wouldn't let me do any contracts. So I gave each kid $20, a bag of chips, and a book. They loved it. And then I occasionally, well, if there's profits, I'll share it with the school. They have a program there called AVID for kids that are going to college that I give money to every now and again. But yeah,
I'll tell
that was
you
a
what,
great experience.
A lot of authors, if they make $20,
They're happy.
is pretty good. So that's not bad for their first job.
And the kids were just wonderful. And she would, they'd work on it for like an hour or two every Friday afternoon. And she had a whole board, a whiteboard set up with a grid that showed which kid was working on which animal. And the favorite animals for the kids were the axolotls. I probably got 20 of those and the toucans.
Wow.
And like I said, I can only have one for each poem. So I had to put a whole page of toucans. And the axolotls, I kind of spread out through the whole book. So they were
That's
funny, those
great.
kids. They're great. I still talk to some of them, as a matter of fact.
That's great. That's great. And the Pelican book came out when?
In February?
February.
Yeah, the kids did the illustrations last fall. And then it took, you know, it takes, as you know, it takes 4 to 6 months to get a book out, so.
Yeah. And then to get it on Amazon, which is that where you prefer people to buy these?
I have a website, rustyawesome.com, that goes to print on demand on Amazon, Walmart, Barnes and Noble, and there's a you probably heard of Ingram Spark, does print on
Absolutely.
demand. So it goes to all those websites, whatever you prefer. You don't have to go to Amazon if you don't want to.
So you have all your books. When you type in
Yes.
Rusty Allen, you come up.
Rustyawesome.com, like an awesome.
Austin, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Austin, like the city of Texas,
Yeah.
Austin. And it'll come right up and you can see every one of Rusty's books.
That's
Hey,
right.
well, we're gonna take a break. On the other
Okay.
side of this break, Rusty, I want to find out more about what the books are actually about,
Okay, I can
what
read a few
animals
poems.
inspire you,
Yeah.
what inspires you about even animals. Why don't you do rainbows? Why don't you do lakes, things of that order. We're going to talk all about that
Good
on the
question.
other side of this at 888-627-6008. Join us. We'll have this little short 1 minute, 22-second commercial, and we'll be right back. Hang with us. Be right back.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. We have Rusty Austin with us, and he is a children's book author, a whole series of books that he has out there. One day I want to grow up to be just like him, to be able to have that many books underneath the belt, and that would be awesome. But he has also been a producer for all kinds of reality TV shows that makes people wonder, wow, what was that like, and how did you get into this world? But we've already crossed that path, and getting into this world is what we're going to be talking about, unless Rusty jumps back into
Yeah, I might. I just
the
might.
past career, which is fine. I'd love to hear about that too. But you don't pick out, because if I was going to do a book about animals, I would pick a horse, a
Okay.
cow, a dog, a cat. You seem to go, okay, I want to talk about a wombat or
Yes.
things that I have never even heard of. Why go outside of that? Is there a particular reason?
I think, and I'm going to bring us back to reality TV for a minute.
Okay.
When you're in reality TV, you shoot I don't know, hundreds of hours of footage for a 1 hour show. So you have to hone down and hone down and hone down and make it and compress it until you get to the absolute essence of it. And that's kind of what I do with my poems, because I try to make them very short so the kids can read them. And like I said, 12 to 15 words. And I always try to have something in there about where the animal lives or what it eats or how it looks or how it behaves, so the kids can get something to learn like that. In fact, I'll read a poem right now I
Yeah,
wrote about
please.
a caiman. And here's a picture of the caiman that the kid Miranda did. And it
So
goes,
Cayman is kind of like an alligator.
it's like a smaller alligator. The
Okay.
caiman has a membrane that nictitates to better underwater see her dates. And so, first of all, the kids are going to want to know what a caiman is. And secondly, they're going to want to know what nictitates means. So I pull them in that way. A nictitating membrane is a membrane that amphibians have over their eyes that keeps the water out when they're underwater. So
Okay, learn something new tonight.
there you go. And it's like I do the one about the toucans. So I was talking about that. It goes, the toucan sings a happy song with her beak so big and strong. And here's a picture of the toucan. And then I had also had a. So these are all the other pictures of the toucans that the kids all did. So it's like,
That's so odd. I bet
yeah.
they were thrilled.
Oh, the kids were just over the moon, and it was so much fun working with them too. And then all of them came in to get their money, we set it up in the library. So I had a big stack of $20 bills on the desk, and I was just passing them out like playing cards. That was so much fun.
That's
And you know,
neat.
some of those kids, I don't think they've seen $20 in their lives. So
That
that
is
was great.
awesome. Now this film that's over the Cayman. So you go in and you research a little bit to try to come up
I
with.
do. I'll just come across stuff as I'm browsing online, and like right now, I'm working on one for the greater sage grouse, who has a mating dance where he puffs up his stomach as big as a basketball. And I just happened to read, I forget where I read it. It might have been an email or something. And so I put those aside on my computer just to come back to them. Or I'm like driving down the road, and I saw a sheep, a herd of sheep. And so this poem came to me. The ram will ram you, so too the ewe, if neither finds itself with nothing better to do. And I just wrote that in my head. And so when I write those kind of poems when I'm out and about or on an airplane and I think of stuff, I need to write them down as soon as I get home or I'll forget them.
Yeah, they're
So
gone if you don't
they're
write it
gone.
down.
But
Yeah, I always have a piece of paper in my pocket because
yeah.
it's you never know when you're going to get the $1 million idea.
And I do a lot of voice notes too as I'm driving around for that kind of
Yeah.
stuff. But I don't know. It's just it's like it just comes out of the ether to me. And I've always liked animals, and I've always liked kids. I'm a grandfather myself. I have a son. Actually, I have two sons that both live in Los Angeles and three grandchildren. And I've always enjoyed reading to them, and so it just kind of naturally came to me that way, I think.
Okay, now I have to ask this, with having two boys that are probably in their 30s and 40s right
What,
now.
30? One of them's 41 and the other one 37.
Okay.
So
Any of them in television?
actually they both are.
Really?
My older son does graphics. It's not really television. He owns a graphics company that does like the graphics for the NCAA Final Four, or you know, the kind of
Wow.
stuff they put inside the stadium. And with the you know that he'll get a video of all the players and do, you know, hi, I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and I play center. And that's what they put up on the big screen. So he does that. And my other son got a job as an assistant editor for many years on the Dr. Phil show. And then when that folded, he went over to Paramount, and now he edits movie trailers over there.
Wow, that is
So
that's awesome.
it's a family
Now, did
business
they
for
get to
sure.
go? They get to go in with you on the sets on
Yes.
certain days
On
to that's how they
certain
got
days,
the love.
I would take them to work, a lot of what I did was is in post-production. So you shoot for like a month, and then you're in post-production for 6 to 8 months to a year, putting all that stuff together. Because it's like I said, you shoot so many hours, and you have to hone it down and hone it down and to compress it. And then the executives all give you notes, and you make those notes, and you give it back to the executives, and they give you more notes, and it goes around and around until finally, you never really finish editing. You just run out of time, and you have
So
to get it on the
is
air.
that where the you make the money is it, as a producer in the actual putting all these hours of stuff into.
Some producers, a lot of producers just like to shoot, and so they'll just sign on for a month and then go shoot something else. But I always like to live through the whole shoot and then see the whole process come to fruition at the end of the day and get the tape off to Fox so they can put it on the air on Tuesday night.
So do your eyes see differently than what normal people see just looking at the world in an everyday fashion? Do you see different things? Like, oh,
Well,
wow.
it seems through the prism of reality television, it's not really real. We produce it. Everything you see on reality is produced, and so I guess you could say I do have a bit of an eye for dramatics and people doing drama and what's real and what isn't. So sure.
Yeah. So you mean WWE wrestling's not real?
No.
Oh, wait.
It's sort of real. I mean,
Oh,
they do wrestle and they do bash each other in the head and hit each other, but
no.
they'll
Well,
have a very they'll
I
have a
think we're
part
starting to
they'll have a
find
part.
out.
Yeah.
NBA, NFL, aren't now, what was it today? Major League Baseball.
Yes.
They've arrested two people. May not be so real either. That kind of scares me.
It does make you kind of nervous, and I know I'm actually a big bicycle racing fan, and we just had a huge blow up maybe 10 or 15 years ago about steroids. And the other thing they discovered was that bicycle racers were putting electric motors inside of their bicycle tubes. And so now every bicycle gets x-rayed before and after the race.
Wow.
So
Well, I know we had those back in the day. It was probably two or three, it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where the fishermen would catch these big
yes.
fish,
And it
and
turned
then
out
they
they had them
left
in a
some weights inside of them
they would
to,
put ball weights and ball bearing
yeah,
weights
so.
inside of the fish. Oh my goodness, yeah. So you just never know, especially now with AI and deep fakes and everything. It's so hard to know what is true. Like you said in the beginning, you have to be true to yourself. That's about all you can do.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I had that jotted down during the break. Are you leaning towards AI in anything in your writing?
Not in my writing, but what I want AI to do, I don't need it to write the book. I need it to format
Good.
a PDF that I can upload to Amazon without having them kick it back to me. That's what I need AI for.
Yeah.
I don't need it to write or do the pictures. I just need it to help me with the grunt work. So
Yeah. And that is grunt work trying to do that.
it really is, especially
Yeah.
when, like I say, I don't do it, what, twice a year, maybe. Well, I've had five books since 2016. So what's that? One every 2 years. And so
Yeah.
you forget everything you learned the last time you did it. You have to relearn it all every time. It's enough to drive you insane.
My favorite animal is the eagle. Have you ever done
Okay.
anything on eagle?
Yes, I did one about the eagle, and it goes. Let me grab the book off the shelf here, and I'll find
And the eagle has one of those little membranes over their eyes
They do. I didn't actually write about that though.
to be able to look into the sun.
Yeah, and also it helps them focus on the ground when they're looking for prey. Okay, so this one's called "The Bald Eagle Takes a Lazy Ride." On deep blue sky, his feathers glide, and there's a picture of the eagle. That's a picture that my nephew did with his Commodore 64. You can see it's wonderful, right?
That is good.
He really did a good job. So that's the eagle poem. And then I did one about the falcon, which goes, "The falcon likes to dive at 185." And that was just a little two-line poem that I wrote.
Yeah.
Because the falcon is the fastest bird there is, and it'll go 185 miles an hour
Wow. So
when it dives.
when you start laying out a book, everybody does it different. I do it completely different. I try to mind map, which people go, what's mind mapping? Well, that's too difficult
I
because
know.
everybody does it differently.
It's like you ask an engineer, how do you build a bridge? Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Or
Yeah.
produce a show, right?
Right,
It's like,
exactly right.
I'll write a book about it someday. Do you tend to go into, because you did one about a unicorn, into some of those things that are not actual real animals? Do you like going into that magical world
I haven't
of,
done that
you know,
yet.
multicolored zebras and things of
Yeah,
that order?
I have a thought that I might try something. Well, I did the unicorn has one horn, and a unicorn's not
Yeah.
a real animal, so I guess that's true. And then, yeah, I mostly stick with animals that are real, though. I did it one called a Paedophryne amuensis, which is the world's smallest frog. It's about as big as your thumbnail.
Oh, wow.
And that one goes, Paedophryne amuensis is hard to rhyme. It's the world's smallest. It's the world's smallest frog with a name sublime. Paedophryne amiensis is hard to rhyme. It's the world's smallest frog with
I wouldn't even be
with
able to
an insane.
pronounce it, let
I
alone
know.
rhyme, get a word that rhymes with it. What's
So.
your biggest joy out of writing children's books? Is it watching your grandchildren read them? Is it
Well,
going to the
yes.
schools and reading it to them? What tell me
I
what
get
that does to you.
people that send me videos of them reading to their kids and how much their kids like
Oh.
it. And the other thing I would point out on my books, they all include a do-it-yourself section
Okay, let's talk about that.
at the end. So here's a, let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, so what I get is I give them an animal, I give them a blank canvas, and I give them some lines to write about. This one is a tarantula. And so sometimes I get people sending me videos of their kids, drawing the pictures or writing the poems. And the kids, they're really talented. Excuse me, they're really talented at both drawing and writing. So that's a fun part of it.
Yeah.
But my best thing is when I finish a book and send it off and buy an author copy and get it back and see it in actual print. That's when I feel the best about it.
Isn't it the truth when you have that,
Yes.
you open up the door of your home and there's a case of the books?
Yes, that's so great. And then I did a few unboxing videos. I should probably put one on my website. I haven't done that. I've been meaning to do that, so maybe I will.
That's neat. Have you ever thought about doing books that have any type of moral themes to it, or you're going to stick with wildlife?
I think I'll just stick with wildlife. Like you said, you got to be true to yourself, and I don't. I
You
wouldn't
don't want
feel
to go there.
comfortable. Yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing something like that. So I'm going to just stick to animals and poems.
Yeah.
And like I said, I did this book called The Curator's Orange about food. And I'll just read a quick poem out of
Yeah.
that. A juicy steak can't be beat. Add some steak sauce. I do like to eat. And there's a little girl eating her steak. Or no, this is her eating the steak there. So, and that again was my nephew that did this with the Commodore 64.
And that's really good.
Isn't it amazing what he can do with that? I just. I'm so
Yeah,
happy.
and you know, I bet kids love these books. And what age group would you say, hey, that is that target audience that goes, oh wow.
Yeah, I would say 3 to 8, although I've
Yeah.
had kids as old as 11 or 12 write and say, I love the book. So, but 3 to 8 is really the target.
That's great.
And of
And
course, obviously, the 3-year-olds have to have their parents or their grandparents read it to them, but they love it, I think.
well, I never raising three boys. Sometimes they would bring me a book that had a lot of words on it and a lot of pages, and it's like, oh no.
No.
Daddy, and they always knew the one when they didn't want to go to sleep. Can you read me this book? It's like, and then you try to skip pages because no, you skipped a page, Dad.
Yeah. See,
I
all my
like
books.
yours because it's short and sweet.
Yeah, and they're all nonlinear. You can open up to any page and read a poem and see a picture. You don't have to start at the beginning and go to the end. And so, when I do my books, I do a table of animals versus a table of contents. So that looks something like this. And you can see there's no page numbers. It's just a list of all the animals with dots.
Oh, that's great.
Well, yeah, I think the carrot book is more of a linear book. She starts out with a carrot, and as she eats, she discards the food across the table. And so by the end of the book, she's got a whole pile of food that she ate part of.
That's wonderful. So, how many more do you have in you? You're just going to keep
Oh,
on producing them out?
I have 100 poems already written. So,
Wow.
like I said, if I just see something that interests me, I'll grab the animal and write a poem about it. Sometimes it takes 10 minutes. Sometimes it takes 10 days. Just I don't know. Right now, I'm trying to write one about a red-shanked duke, which is a small monkey that's indigenous to, I think, Madagascar, the Red Shank Duke, DOUC, and I haven't been able to run that yet, but I'm working on it.
That's awesome. And when do you know you have the right poem? When you start writing, because I could probably say little limericks, but it wouldn't, it's like, oh, that's terrible.
Well, back to reality again. I hone it down and hone it down and hone it down till I get to what I feel is the very essence. So when I first write the poem, they usually have some ands and buts and stuff like that on that you can just dispense with. And I don't like to use a lot of commas either. So if I can figure out how to get rid of a comma, I will.
So you don't
But
like commas?
no. In
That's
fact,
interesting.
a brief aside, the guy that won the Nobel Literature Prizes here wrote a book that was 400 pages long. It was all one sentence. So I've got that on my list to read.
Whoa.
I know,
So he
right?
wrote a 400-page book with one
With
sentence.
one sentence.
He
And so
deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm telling you, I want to read that book because I got to see how he did it. In fact, my Cheryl's essay was a whole page, and it was two sentences, one really long sentence and then a short one at the end. So I've got some practice at doing it.
I'll be darned. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay. When you produce a book and it comes out and it sells, sometimes it takes off, sometimes they
Yeah.
don't, sometimes it hits a speed bump. Are you addicted like I am to when the early days come out
I
of
love the
hitting
early part
refresh?
because right now I'm happy to sell one or two a week after about 6 months. And when it first comes out, you sell more. So that's very exciting. And then I generally check the author dashboard once or twice a day. I try not to get too involved in it because then I would just get sad that I'm not selling more, but
Do you read your reviews?
yes, I get.
Oh,
Oh, you don't?
I
I've had a few bad ones, but for the most part, they're good. People
Oh, good.
like it. Well, what's not to like? I mean, it's short and sweet and happy. So.
Yeah, I try to stay away from that because I could be speaking to 4,000 people,
Yeah.
get a standing ovation, and one person not stand, and I would be dwelling on that one person. But it would eat my lunch.
There's always a miserable sore head somewhere. You just got to, like you said, you can't let them into your inner circle. You got to just move past it.
What do you want to be remembered as, Rusty, when the sun goes down on our lives? And what?
I would most like to be remembered as a parent and a grandparent, because I think that's the most important thing any of us can do.
Wow. That's and out of everything that you have to have, either it's underneath your bed or hid away in a closet. The one piece of memorabilia or item that is most precious to you, is it a book? Is it something from a show? What would that be? You said, hey, wait, my place is on fire. I got to grab that
It's
before
actually
I quit.
a very small statue of my very first dog, Fresca.
Is
We
that the
had
woman hanging behind you?
right there, yeah, there she is.
So that's your most prized possession.
No, the statue, which is in the other room.
Oh, the statue of
Yeah,
your
it's
dog.
I just I was at a I don't know, a gift shop or something about 20 or 30 years ago, and I saw that statue and I'm like, that's my dog. And so I bought it. And we still keep it out on the, I think it's on the mantle right now, but I move it around the house too, just to
It's so
stuff
funny.
up.
You realize you got a spider crawling up your wall.
Yeah, the spider.
Yeah,
Let's see. I don't know where that came from, but
there
yeah,
it is.
it's metal. It weighs about 3 pounds, and I bought it at the garden store.
That's funny. Now, do you think, because I'm getting ready to make the pitch, do you think these would be perfect gifts, were they not, for
Absolutely. And
grandmas and grandpas to give to their kids for Christmas?
it would be, and I'm planning on a big Christmas push. I think Amazon actually has them on sale right now for $3.99 or something, my normal price.
Who controls that? Who
I don't
controls
know.
that?
I don't know, but that means I will get 10 cents royalty, but I don't care. I have plenty of money, and I'm just in this really for the fun of it, really. If
Yeah.
I make you know, $100 in a week, that's great. If I don't, I don't care. I just like writing.
That's a good way of looking at it, because I'm thinking, I sometimes my book goes on sale cheaper than what I can buy it from the publisher.
I know. Well, my author copies are $5, so I don't know how they're selling it for $3.99.
Whatever. So catch the deals, guys. Yeah. I truly believe if you want to, I don't know how many books you have there in front of you as we close here. Rusty, put up each book and really to where we can see the choices that they have. There's the carrot is orange.
You see the carrot there? The do-it-yourself section.
It's got a self.
And then this is Beware the Grizzly Bear, which was my first.
Oh, we haven't even seen that one. Okay.
Yeah.
That includes the self, do-it-yourself section.
And then let's see. I did the carrot. The unicorn has one horn with the next one, which also has the do-it-yourself section.
Okay.
And the funny thing about this book is my other nephew did it, and he did it with watercolors. And you can see.
Oh.
I think he did a wonderful job, too. That's a sly red fox.
Yeah, watercolors aren't easy.
In a den on a hill lives a sly red fox. She sleeps all day, but at night she rocks. You can see he's girl with a little guitar. And then the latest one to come out is an awesome bird, the pelican. And
that's awesome.
By the students. So, yeah. And the website is rustyaustin.com, and you can buy all four of them there. And if you're interested in adult books, I have my memoirs up there, too. So that would be fun.
Fantastic. And which is your favorite?
I think the one I had the most fun on was the Pelican book, just because of getting all those kids involved.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I think if your favorite book isn't the one you just wrote, maybe it's like a lot of authors try to do. They just try to roll out another one.
Yeah,
and another one. Sometimes their second, third, fourth, fifth books aren't any good because they're just trying to make the money. But it's about the money. You lose the whole thing. It's got to be about the message.
It's got to be about the book and the message. And that's why I only come out with one once every couple of years, because I'm retired now. I'm not in it for the money anymore. I just want to have kids get inspired and have fun.
That is great. Rusty, thank you for being with us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So much.
I really have enjoyed it. It's been a great hour.
When you have a next one, let me know. And,
okay.
We'll bring you on.
Yeah, the hour just flew by, didn't it? My goodness.
It does. And I tell you, sometimes I have to really pull teeth to get a good conversation going. But
okay.
I love just like
well,
we're sitting
I love to
having
talk,
coffee.
So.
Yeah, so we're so thank you for giving us the time tonight. And I personally want to say, everybody that's out there, I've seen these. I've looked at these. I have one. They are the best of quality. And I recommend everybody. Let's get him up on the Amazon number one bookseller in the children's book section tonight. But buy these for Christmas presents. These are awesome. And I like the imagination, because a fox that rocks is something that you don't see in a lot of books anymore.
No, those kind of poems just are really fun to write, I got to say.
And I love that creativity.
Right on.
Okay. Thank you, Rusty. Appreciate you being with us.
You betcha. Talk to you soon.
Okay, well, thank you. Good night now. Like we do each and every show, whether it's about children's books, whether it's about artists painting or watercolors or whatever. You know, life is about a whole bunch of different events, and it's a big palette. And when you dip into the color, you may not like that color and you have to change it, or you have to augment it, or you have to redesign. But tell you what you're going to be facing with tomorrow in this political world, I hope you're not traveling, because unless they closed down or opened up the government tonight, and I think they're voting on it. It seemed like they have maybe a pass of that, but I don't think it's definite yet. You're going to have to find some way to find positivity in your life. And whatever it is, find a way that's not built in around us. It's got to be here. And find out where that is in you. And never give up. Open up a children's book and just read for the joy of that, for the creativity of that. And then buy a book that is able to be able to help a children smile. A lot of this stuff is trying to ram thoughts down our children's throats. And that's not what it's about either. It's about joy, laughter, smiling, and looking at our world and finding something of great, great, great value and purpose. And that's what it's all about. But no matter what you face tomorrow, I want to let you know there's always hope. Never give up on hope. As surely as it's dark behind me, the sun is coming up in the morning. I promise you. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And join us right here next week, 8 o'clock Central, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Good night now.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.